It is a real blessing to be back. To be back here. There have been many reasons why this place has been special to me and my wife over the past few years that we've been here. But being asked to come especially to speak and to share a message that I want to share tonight is extra special. See, I've had the opportunity to speak for the last 42 years. And in all those times that I've spoken, with three children, 14 grandchildren, a master's in counseling and adolescent psychology, 33 years working as a middle school counselor, there's only been twice that I've been asked to come and speak about something that didn't have anything to do with the military. Twice. Once was at my home church when the pastor got called out of town unexpectedly, and he said, "Hey, Gary, it's Father's Day. Do a message." That was the first time. Second time is when Pastor Rich asked me to come and share that message. I still have the bulletin. 2011. I haven't really looked at that message since then, because it was just something that. Well, I was honored to be asked to speak about something that didn't have to do with the military, and actually fell in line with what I had spent the last 33 years of my life doing, working with children. You know, and when he asked me to speak, I thought immediately, wow, this is great. I'm going to prepare a PowerPoint. I'm going to get videos. I'm going to have handouts. I'm going to do all this stuff, you know. I'm going to be teaching about everything you need to know as a parent. Because after 33 years, I've seen a lot of children. I've seen a lot of parenting. I had to be able to come up with something for a message on Father's Day. But the more I prayed, the more God led me in a different direction. No PowerPoints, no handouts, no video clips. But he just gave me some random thoughts. Random thoughts about moments. You see, at this stage in my life, I'm 66 years old. Never expected to live to be past 36. But at 66 years old, I've come to learn a little bit about life. And one of the things that I've learned is that, and I try to share this with young people, you don't live your life in years. Don't put off living today because you're waiting till you turn 16 or 18 or 21. Because life isn't lived in years. Your life is lived in moments. Amen. And there's a very quite common quote that I saw on a pillow at Kirkland's. It says that life is not measured in the number of breaths we take, but in the number of moments to take our breath away. I like that. I like that. And so as I was preparing to share a message with my home church about Father's Day, God just kept bringing back to my memory certain moments that as I reflected more upon them, I realized that they had a tremendous impact on who I was as a father, who I was as maybe a son, and who I was going to become as a grandfather or a papa, as my 14 grandchildren call me. Well, that first moment occurred when I was at a Word of Life Bible Institute conference. We were up there in Scroon Lake in the mountains, and my wife and I were sitting about in the third row behind a family that had four children. And I'm a people watcher. I just love to watch people. And as I was watching this family with four children, and I could tell by just in the effort that it took to get them seated that this was a wild crew. So they were strategically placed, the father and the mother, in between the four kids as best they could, you know. And then the poking started, the laughing, you know, the getting up, moving around, the fidgeting. parents tried all the usual strategies, you know, taking out the pen and paper, giving them the look eye to eye, clearing the throat. None of them worked. The kids still kept on playing each other and entertaining with each other. And then I could see that one of the older children was getting ready to do this pre-planned poke to his brother, who was sitting right there. But he had to reach across his mother to get him, or reach behind her. Well, I could tell he was thinking, and he opted to go quickly in front of her. And I was just waiting for him to fire off that poke. And I was amazed, because the mother was watching, listening to the speaker, and I could see the kid wind back, arm that weapon, and then... And immediately, the mother just went... As only a mother could, she intercepted that poke so skillfully. And then what she did next was tremendous. She took that hand and she placed it in her lap. And what happened next was even more tremendous because of the effect that it had on that young man. He didn't wince in pain. He didn't pull his hand back quick or anything. But with that hand clasping his hand, he calmed down and he turned and he looked at his mother. And he looked at the hand that was holding his. And he could tell he was just starting to think. And he started tracing her hand. He started looking at that hand and then looking at his hand and comparing it. Gee, how am I like my mom's hand? There was a calmness that was immediately transferred between the mother and the child. It was skillful. And as I watched that, I thought, my gosh, what a picture of what just happened. It was a picture of correction with connection. The mother reached out, corrected her child, but connected with him too. And in that connection, she transferred love, discipline, support. I couldn't tell how hard she was squeezing, but I didn't see any wincing. But there was something that was transferred there that had an immediate effect on that child. He got his attention, and his attention was focused on her hand. And then something happened that was even more amazing. She went to move her hand away, and he grabbed the hand and put it back on his. He didn't want to let go of that hand. He was connected. He had been corrected, but he was connected with his parent. I thought about that child's response, and I thought about my own hands that I've used with my children through the years. I'm sure I used the hand of correction many, many times. But I began to wonder, how often did I use the hand of connection? When I reached out my hand, did I connect, or did my kids flinch back because they were afraid something was going to bad happen? Did my hand connect and convey the love and the support and the guidance and the care that was in my heart towards them? Or did they just feel the hand of correction? My thoughts then turned to our Heavenly Father. And I thought about His hand of correction in my life and how many times He had corrected me. But in spite of those corrections, I still long for the touch of His hand in my life. I still long for those moments when I knew that I was held in the palm of His hand. And I didn't want him to ever let go. I could only help but think, how have I used my hand with my children? My mind then went to another moment. When one of our children was young, we lived up in northern Maine in the woods, and it was the wintertime, and my wife's parents raised Morgan horses. And one afternoon, my son saw the Morgan horses out in the corral. And he said, "Dad, take me out and watch the horses." He was only about 4 or 5 years old, but he wanted to get out there. He saw that as an adventure. I said, "Okay, let's go." We started walking through the fields, and we hadn't gone any more than 10 steps, and he hit some rocks or bricks or branches that were under all the snow, and he started to fall. Immediately, he lifted up his hand, and my hand went to his, and I held his hand. He got back up. He said, "Come on, Dad, let's go." He wasn't disappointed or discouraged about how hard it was. He just knew that he wanted to get there to see those horses, and he knew that my hand would be there to support him, to give him the strength that he needed, to guide him, that no matter what happened to him, I would not let him fall. My hand was always going to be there for him. And I remember after that experience coming back, and I used to write in my journals all the time, I still do. And I remember writing, "I hope that my hand is always there for my children. I hope that there will never, ever come a time when I am not there to help them when they stumble." Through the years, my children have stumbled, as all children do. And I couldn't help but wonder, did I always do the right thing? Did I always respond with the hand of connection? Was there something more I could have done that maybe could have prevented them from stumbling? Could I use my hands differently? And I thought about how we used to use our hands. And one of the most important ways that we used our hands was, as our kids were growing up, we had each of their pictures that we changed every year with their school pictures on the mantle. And each week we'd put a new flower by that picture. And that reminded us to always take our hands together and pray for our kids. Holding my hands together, praying for my kids, was a tremendous way to make a connection with my kids. Because they saw Mom and Dad praying for them right before our mantle that's over a fireplace. There's a quote that spoke to me. And this quote says that before getting married, I had 6 theories about raising children. Now I have 6 children and no theories. And that quote was made by a man named John Wilmot. And that's not a contemporary quote. The year he made that quote was 1680. Children haven't changed much, have they? There are times when there's no other thing that we can do with our hands than to put them together to pray for our children and place them in the hands of God, knowing that He loves them much more than we do. With those thoughts about my hand and how I used them, though, I wondered, with all those prayers, what kind of handprints did I leave in my children's life? Were there marks or handprints left on their hearts? What kind of an effect did I have on who they are? Well, a friend once told me, he said, "Gary," when I was starting to have children, and he said, "Gary, if you're looking to see how you are as a parent, you got to look beyond how your kids turn out. That's not going to give you a good picture of how you were as a parent. Look beyond how your kids turn out, but rather look at how they raise their kids. That's the way to tell what kind of a parent you were. How are your children raising their children?" And quite honestly, my children are much harsher on theirs than we ever were on them. But still, that moment spoke to me about how I had impacted my children. But I still wanted to, still wondered, did I really pass anything on? Go to another moment. One Saturday morning, I was holding my grandson Garrett. We were watching TV. And all of a sudden, we were flipping through the stations, and I kind of got interested in one little, seemed like a good kind of cartoon. And he goes, oh, Papa, I hate that one. Now, there were certain things you didn't say in our house. My wife, Lolly, her love language is words, you know. Words, I have learned, are very, very important to her. There have been many, many times when I would say something and I would, before I could even get it out, I'm saying, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that, but then it's out there, you know, and I wanted to bring it back. And I have to say, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. It's not what I meant. She's a big person on words. Some of the words that we never used in her house were hate or stupid. Hate or stupid. Words you didn't say. So when Garrett said, ah, Papa, I hate that show, I was going to say something to provide some instruction. But all of a sudden, from the kitchen, my son comes in. And he goes, Garrett, what did you just say? And immediately Garrett's response was, I think I said something that you don't like, right, Dad? And he said, that's right, son. That's right, son. We don't say hate. Do you know what that brought to my heart? To see how you are as a parent. Watch your children to see how they raise their children. To watch my son correct and connect with his son was a moment that said to me, maybe I've done something right. As I did continue with those thoughts about moments and what other moments might have affected me as a parent, as a father, I started to think about my own heart. Things that were important to me, things that I tried to instill in my children. And I said, okay, who has left imprints on my heart? Who has influenced me? Who have I looked at as a father and said, yes, that's what I want to be like? You see, I wish I could have said, my father. But I couldn't. I couldn't say that about my father. See, my parents were divorced when I was 4. And back there in the 40s and so, divorce wasn't very common and single parents were a rarity. I only have a few memories of my father. I remembered him playing catch with me. I remember him saying someday I was going to be able to be a pitcher like he was. He played semi-pro ball. I remember sitting on his lap Saturday morning watching Flash Gordon. Anybody remember Flash Gordon? And that little black and white TV? Yeah. Special memories of my father. Playing catch, watching Flash Gordon. But then I also remember spending hours at a bar on a stool, spinning around and around and around, drinking Cokes and talking with the bartender as my father would take off and go with other women and leave me for hours at the bar. I also have one memory of him beating me. Don't know why. I just remember the beating. And then I have a final memory of my father, of him kneeling down, giving me a kiss, and saying goodbye to me at my aunt's house. Not knowing that I'd never see him again. Maybe it was a blessing that all that happened at such a young age. For me, because I really honestly don't remember missing him. I don't remember growing up wondering about how things would be different if I had a father. See, my mom didn't fill my head or my heart with a lot of anger or hate towards my father. She always just said good things. I don't remember any anger or hate for my father. I don't have, other than those few memories, I don't have any memories of my father. And after a while, it just became that my father never existed. Fast forward to another moment. Those of you that know my story know that I was wounded and shot 3 times in Vietnam, almost died. And as a result of that, was introduced to the reality and the presence and the healing power of God. And eventually then became a Christian. But I remember being at Valley Forge Hospital in Pennsylvania. I spent 10 months there after being shot. And I remember lying there in bed one day, thinking about the war, thinking about how my life had been changed, thinking about this new thing, God in my life. And then all of a sudden I saw somebody walking up the aisle towards my bed. Even though I had never seen him in over 20 years, I knew immediately he was my father. There's something that exists in the heart between a father and a son. And it was stirred that day. I knew it was him. Though he had not been a part of my life for 20 years, he showed up at the hospital bed. You see, the first reports that came out of Vietnam was that I was killed. And when his brother, who lived in Rochester, heard that, he contacted my dad, who lived in Florida, and told him that I was killed. But then they found out I wasn't. And so my uncle called my dad again and said, "He's alive." So my dad came up. He didn't stay long. Just came to my bed. And he said, "Gary, I want you to know, I've always loved you. And I know I haven't seen you for over 20 years. But you're older now, and maybe you'll be able to understand. And if you're willing, and if you're able, when you get better, I hope you come down to Florida so we can talk." And then he left. He left and left me a lot to think about. After my discharge, I was trying to get myself together again, and as those of you who know me know, I spent 2 years in a cave trying to put my life together, thinking about this new love that God had given me. And I remember reading in 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." I read that, and as overjoyed as I was with knowing that the Father, the Heavenly Father, had loved me, it hit me in here, because that was something I had never heard. I had never heard another human voice call me son. And so I said, "You know, while I'm trying to sort out this whole father-son thing, maybe I should take a trip to Florida and try to check into that father." But I also remember thinking, well, do I really want to do that? I've lived 24 years without a father. Do I need one now? Do I need a father in my life? Is it worth the risk? Well, I decided that it was. And I took off and hitchhiked to Florida. Got down there. And it was, I don't really remember the feelings that I had there. Again, I didn't feel anger. I didn't feel hate. maybe confusion, you know, anticipation, some excitement even maybe. But here I was meeting this stranger who in some way was a part of who I was, who in some way was living in my heart and in my mind. In the time that he had been gone, he had become the sheriff of St. John's County, worked out of St. Augustine, had a beautiful home by the ocean. And again, I didn't start thinking, oh my gosh, you know, maybe I could have had that if he had been around and been my father. Look, I could have had a home by the ocean and all that stuff. I didn't think any of that stuff. He had also met and married a beautiful Christian woman who recently had led him to the Lord. So here he was, my father, a Christian. Those were all big surprises, but the biggest surprise to me was when he took me out to the lanai. And those of you that are snowbirds know what a lanai is. You know, it's that little Florida room out in the back with the sun, and it's just a gorgeous place to just rest and soak in the sun. He took me out to his lanai, and in a very prominent place, almost like an altar, there was this chest about this big on a stand. And he opened it up, and I saw cards there. I saw a chest full of things. And he said, "Gary, I was a terrible father. I was a terrible husband. And when I left, the reason I left was that because I knew you had good aunts and uncles that would love you and care for you. And rather than being a part of your life and creating chaos between your mother and myself, I made a tough decision to just leave and not be a part of your life. But in doing that, I continued to hope and pray that someday we would have a day like this when we could be together." And as he was saying these things, he opened up the chest and showed me birthday cards, Christmas cards for years that he had made out to me and put them in their chest. I saw little post-it notes with little bits of father's wisdom, kind of like reading Proverbs. I found little notes that he had written about things that he was doing during his day. "Hey, Gary, went fishing today. Had a great time. Hope someday we can go fishing together." Hundreds of cards and newspaper clippings, post-it notes, pieces of paper that contained the father's thoughts, that contained the father's love for his son. And he asked me to just sit here and read. And he said, "Gary, that's my story. Right or wrong, that's my story. I only ask of you one thing. Read these, and then we'll come back and talk." I spent hours reading through those things. And as I spent hours reading through those notes that contained thoughts of a father, I had a tremendous miracle that took place in me. And that miracle was what happens when your heart experiences the love of a father. I didn't feel anger, but rather I began to feel a love for this man. I didn't feel hate. I began to feel a sense of joy that here was this person that obviously cared for me. And I could only imagine the anguish that he must have felt, loving someone so much, but choosing to stay away from them. Rather than any burning questions about Why did you do this? I felt something that I have never experienced before. I felt the love of a father. After I finished reading, he came in and we talked for hours. He listened as I talked. I listened as he talked. He opened his heart to me and I opened my heart to him. He then took me to some people that he wanted me to meet, people that had been praying for me for over 20 years. And they were so glad to meet his son. For the next 28 years, my father and I had a father-son relationship. Was it the best? No. But he loved me the best he could. Was it like others? No. But it was the one that I had. And I'm very thankful and blessed to have had it. Because that relationship with him filled a void and emptiness that was in me. I now felt the love of a father. Prior to sharing this Father's Day message, I never talked about my father before. To really anybody, except maybe my wife. You might ask, why did you start talking about it now? Because I felt the love of the Father. And because God says, honor thy father and thy mother. And I choose to honor him for who he is, for the love that he had for me. And what have I learned from all that? Well, I'm not trying to make excuses for his mistakes. And I'm not trying to generate sympathy for me in my life, because I know there are many people who have had worse experiences. And as I look at my life, I've been blessed beyond measure. I can't compare my life to anything that would have been better. But what I've taken away in these father's thoughts is that I've learned some things that have helped me in my role as a father, helped me in my role as a grandfather. And I'm going to resist, like I said, resist preparing a PowerPoint of, 10 best tips on parenting, I'm going to resist talking about the art of forgiveness. Rather, I just want to share three takeaways from my experience with my father. Three takeaways. That connecting with my father has given me. First thing is that I've learned from this is that in life, you're not going to always understand the choices that people make. Now, I could have judged him as either being right or wrong. I could have hit him with questions like, how could you? And why did you? And why didn't you do this? But I didn't. Because we're not going to understand everything that everybody does and the choices that they make. But yet God doesn't tell us to try to understand people. He tells us to love them. We're told to love, not understand. And I've learned in my years that relationships, those that are so important to you, they're built on something that's much more truer, much more stronger than who is right and who is wrong. A relationship that has to be built on proving that you're right is not a relationship that's healthy. If you have to always prove that you're right and that the other person is wrong. Because in the end, we're both wrong. We're both sinners and we need to be forgiven. We need to love and forgive. It doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong, because Jesus was right. And we both need to forgive. And you do not need to understand the choices that people make in order to love them, in order to forgive them, in order to care for them and support them and give them what they need. Even the people that I love the closest to me don't always understand why I do some of the things that I do. And I am so thankful that I don't have to have them understand that in order for me to feel loved by them. Because forgiveness operates in our relationships. If understanding comes along, great, you know. But as I said, you do not need to understand in order to love. My father taught me that. I didn't understand his choices. But right or wrong, those are what he made. And I love him. Because he made another choice to try to connect with me. And I believe with all my heart, and we need to remember as parents, especially as our children grow and become adults, that if they have not already, parents, your kids are going to make some wrong choices. Please, please, don't ever in anger turn your back on them. If they turn their back on you, continue to love them. You may not understand why they do what they do, but love them. I've come to the point in my life where I believe with all my heart that I do not need to understand in order to love, to comfort, or to forgive. Pastor earlier today mentioned Matthew 18:22, where he was asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven? And Jesus said, 7 times 70. Try that. But I don't read in there where he said, but before you forgive, you don't have to forgive if you don't understand. You know, first of all, try to understand, and then you can forgive him. He didn't say that.
Right.
Parents, never turn your back on your children, even if you don't understand their behavior in any way. Rather, reach out, correct, and connect with a hand that loves and supports and is there to guide them. Second takeaway that I've learned is that in our relationships with one another, whether it's a father with a son, a husband with a wife, a son with a parent, it's never too late. I've heard so many people in 33 years tell me about their children. I could never forgive them. It's too late. They're too bad. They're a lost cause. No. It is never, ever too late to forgive. It is never, ever too late to reach out and to restore a relationship. It is never too late to stop the way things are going, turn around and say, God, I want to go your way and restore that relationship through love and forgiveness. It's never too late to take those first 2-3 steps towards love. My father, after 24 years of never even being in touch with me at all, took a risk. He didn't know how I was going to react. But he took a risk and came to tell me that he loved me. It's never too late. I never know how someone's going to react, but not knowing how they're going to react should never impede or hinder or prevent me from reaching out and loving them. It's never too late to stop and turn around and to offer someone a healing hand. Lolly said to me once, she said, "You know, Gary, it's kind of too bad that he never could have sent one of those, even after he got to be 20 years old or 18. Too bad he couldn't have sent one of those things to you." I thought about it and then I said, "You know, in life, it's God's timing. And who knows? Maybe if he would have sent it, I wouldn't have been ready to listen. Maybe my heart wasn't prepared the right way." But don't wait. It's never too late to risk. When was the last time that you experienced a miracle in your life? When's the last time when you had a God moment and you felt like, wow, felt so close to God? Or felt that just where you said, "God, I want to feel your presence in me. I want to feel your touch. I want to feel different. I want to feel changed by you." In this morning's adult Sunday school, I talked about those being God moments and experiencing God in your life. If you want to have those kind of God moments, if you want to experience a miracle in your life and feel what it's like to be touched by God, offer forgiveness to someone. You will experience the miracle of love. You will experience a change in your own heart. I wish I could find the words to explain what it was like to read those things and to have my own heart change from a father who never existed to loving a father who was there. Well, you might say, "Yeah, but Gary, you don't know my story. You don't know my hurt. You don't know what I've been through." No, I don't. But I do know our Heavenly Father. And I do know that He heals hurts. He comforts pain. He relieves guilt. "Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. There's no way that I could possibly be forgiven." No, I don't know your story. I don't know what you've done. But I do know that our Heavenly Father is full of grace. And in that grace is forgiveness for us all. And with that forgiveness comes a peace and a comfort that passes all understanding. So I say to you again, in your relationships, it's never too late. Never too late to forgive. Never too late to ask for forgiveness. Never too late to experience the miracle of a changed heart. I don't know your story, but I would encourage you to take a step. Call that person. Forgive that person. Ask for their forgiveness. If it's necessary, visit a gravesite if that person is no longer here. Tell your kids something good about that person. Because remember, they're watching you. Your children are watching you. And they look to you. So what impression, what handprint on their life are you leaving with them? Are you teaching them about a father's love? Are you teaching them lessons about forgiveness? As a father, I can't tell you the number of times that I have had to go back and ask my children for forgiveness. I will tell you one, though. Our oldest daughter, Stephanie. We were living in the woods in Maine. That's a whole other story, but it was isolated. I was going through a lot. She was starting school in kindergarten. We traveled into Norway, South Paris, shopping at a Woolworths with all the excitement about going to school. My wife and Stephanie came running up to me as I was in a different aisle, and they were carrying a lunchbox, a Holly Hobby lunchbox. And she was so excited. Look, Daddy, look what I've got. I said, put it back. You don't need a lunchbox. Paper bags are good. Kids in Vietnam didn't have lunchboxes. You don't need one. I crushed her. Then at Christmas time, without knowing it, my wife bought her a little Barbie head that you could comb and do makeup with and stuff. She opened it on Christmas morning. I picked it up and I said, you got to take this back. My wife couldn't understand. Why? Kids in Vietnam didn't have Barbie heads. They played with brass bullets. They didn't have toys. We don't need toys. Again, I crushed my daughter. 11 years later, at 16, I apologized to her and gave her a Holly Hobby lunchbox and a Barbie head. She still remembers that. Fathers, what lessons are you teaching your children? What handprints are you leaving on their life? Are you teaching them lessons about a father's love? Are you teaching them lessons about forgiveness? My final takeaway: I know and believe with all my heart that none of us will ever find fulfillment. None of us will ever really find out who we really are and what we can become until we enter a relationship with our Heavenly Father. You see, there's going to come a time in all of our lives when we need to hear from our Father. We need to hear a Father's thoughts. We need to feel the touch of a Father's hand. How is your relationship with your Heavenly Father? How is your relationships with others? Maybe your relationships with others could use some help. Maybe you need some help with the relationship with your father. Maybe the reason that the relationship with others is not going so well is because your relationship with your Heavenly Father is not all that good. Perhaps like me, you're saying, "What Heavenly Father?" Perhaps like me, you felt like he doesn't exist. Or if he does exist, he's abandoned me. He never thinks about me. Well, just as I stood before my father and went through a whole chest full of the father's thoughts towards me, I want to close by showing you a chest full of the father's thoughts for you. You may not know the Father, but He knows you by name. In Jeremiah, He says that before He formed you in your mother's womb, He knew you. You may think that the Father has forgotten you, but He hasn't forgotten you. In Isaiah, He says that, you know, a mother may forget her child, but I will never forget you. I have your image, I have your picture, I have your life graven on the palm of my hands. It's always before me. Those are the Father's thoughts towards you. Those are the Father's thoughts that are in here, in this chest full of a Father's love. He has many wonderful thoughts for you. In Jeremiah 29, He said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, yes, thoughts of peace." In Psalm 139, He says, "How precious are the thoughts that I have towards you." David said, "If I would count them, Lord, they would be more in number than the sand." How great is the sum of all the Father's thoughts towards us. God has not forgotten you. He does exist. He hasn't abandoned you. And He has left us a chest full of little post-it notes, little bits of wisdom, little bits of desires about wanting to have a special life with us. As I said earlier, there comes a time in all of our lives when we need to hear the Father's thoughts. There comes a time when we have to hear the voice of God. There comes a time when we need to hear and feel the touch of God in our life. How about you? Is tonight that night? Has the Father spoken to you tonight? Has He told you how much He loves you and how He misses you and how He wants to have a tremendous relationship with you? How He has so many special plans that He wants to share with you? How that you are continually in His thoughts and He just wants you to be a part of His life. And He wants you to let Him be a part of your life. Is tonight the night that the Father is speaking to you? Listen. Open your heart. Is He saying something to you? Is there something that maybe you need to say to Him? Is there something that maybe you need to say to your earthly father? Something you need to say to maybe your earthly mother? Or maybe as a father, is there something you need to say to your son or to your daughter? Is there something that you need to do to connect with them, to leave a handprint on their heart and on their life? Remember, you do not need to understand in order to love and forgive. And remember, it is never too late to be restored to the Father's love. Pastor.